It's Vision's Morning Cafe with Karen.
My very special guest this morning is Tanya Harris. Now, Tanya has her very own global ministry, which really is doing an amazing job equipping people to recognize God's voice. In essence, it's called God Conversations. Tanya's based in Sydney. She does a lot of world travel, many other things. Good morning and welcome to the Morning Cafe, Tanya.
So good to be with you on your new show.
Thank you very much and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you very much.
Now, I know this is an interesting day for you, and we'll get more to the whole Valentine's thing in a little while. But firstly, just for the sake of our listeners who don't know who Tanya Harris is, can you give us a little bit of a background of, you know, what was life like for you in your early days growing up in Melbourne?
Beautiful Melbourne. Well, I started off my working career actually as a sports teacher. I did that for about 4 years, and I remember one particular afternoon standing on a football field wondering if this was going to be the thing that I was doing for the rest of my life. And I prayed a prayer at that time. And over the following year, God spoke to me that I would be in ministry. And the odd thing about that is that at the time, I didn't really know what he meant, because in the church that I grew up in, there was no women who were ministers. In fact, we weren't allowed to be. We were the ones who were kind of in the kitchen, helping out, staying at home. And so I didn't have any idea what God meant, as is often the case when he speaks to us. And I ended up studying a master's at Bible College. And going on from there, I pastored a church in Melbourne. And about 10 years ago, I moved to Sydney to become the academic dean of Hillsong College. And from there, about 6 years ago, I started God Conversations. And as you said, our goal is to equip people to hear God's voice. And the reason for my ministry is because over the years, God taught me very clearly how he spoke. And my life has been the product of his words. So very passionate about helping other people develop that kind of relationship with him.
Tanya, from a very conservative background, you have had, I mean, that's in a nutshell what you just said.
Yeah.
You've had such a checkered range of ministry experience, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I think a lot of it was trying to work out who I was and what I was going to be in life. So did a lot of different things with children and youth and in welfare work as well, overseas missions. So I think we finally worked it out. I love what I do now.
And so from originally being a physical education teacher, I know the transferable skills of teaching can be used in a whole range of different contexts. But, yeah, you've worked with homeless youth. You've worked with online training programs.
Yeah.
Right now you're a Bible teacher. You're an inspirational speaker traveling worldwide. Where have you just returned from recently?
Actually, I have had a month in Sydney, would you believe, before
Woo-hoo!
That I was in Europe. But I've had a month because I've just been writing my first book called The Easy Way to Hear God's Voice. And
yeah.
It's just published at godconversations.com now, which has been great. But I think, you know, the principles I learned as a school teacher such a long time ago, how to work with people, have been transferable, whatever
yes.
age or base or demographic those mm-hmm. people are. And particularly, you know, teaching people about God and helping them is all part of seeing the very best come out in their lives. And it's always been a common theme in the whole of my ministry along the way. So it just hasn't looked like I thought it would look. I thought it would look very different. You know, I think I grew up, as I said, in a very conservative home. We never really talked about what I would be when I grew up because everybody knew that I was going to get married and have kids, and that was it. I didn't even think about having a career. So it's just a very different scene that I find myself in now. I'm very thankful for it. God's been faithful, but just not what I expected.
So you've actually gone from the peaks of Switzerland to the halls of Oxford University to upstate New York, all across Australia. That is a far cry from the kitchen in beachside Melbourne.
This is very true. It sounds very glamorous, but you know, I think the journey, the inner journey, has been much more profound even sometimes than the outer journey that I've done. That process of working out who you are and what you're called to do and working through all that fear. As I said before, very shy growing up, very conservative, very small-minded, never imagined that I could actually do something beyond my small, narrow little experience. And I think knowing God has completely changed the possibilities before me. And so very thankful for that. You know, a friend of mine once asked me, you know, being a Christian hasn't made that much difference in your life, has it? I think he expected me to say, oh, you know, it changes what I do on a Sunday morning, but actually it's changed me from the inside out and molded me into the person I believe God designed me to be from the very beginning. So thankful for that. As I said, a long journey and sometimes a painful one, working out those barriers and those obstacles that we go through in life.
Can you give us a little bit of a snippet? Now, this is my curiosity here.
Yeah.
Can you tell me the part of your journey that changed from a very conservative Christian denominational upbringing to getting involved with Hillsong Church?
That's an interesting one. Well, it came in stages, I think. As I said, the church I grew up in was very somber. At 21, I wanted more. I guess I wanted some more tangibility in my spiritual experience. So I moved to a large church that's now City Life Church in Melbourne with Mark Connor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people there sort of were much more exuberant and expressive in their faith. So that took a little bit of getting used to. After that, I was trained in another church. To my horror, as I moved there, a woman came in. And as I said before, in our denomination growing up, women weren't in ministry. And they weren't allowed to be. It was only the men who could do that sort of thing. So to my horror, this woman, I couldn't work her out. She was bold and strong and confident and feminine, but I'd never seen someone lead before. Time goes on and God calls me to plant a church in Melbourne. And I thought that would mean that any moment now my husband was going to come along, because I didn't know of anyone in Australia who was pastoring or starting a new church as a single woman. The church we were in was in St Kilda, which is, as you may know, the red light district of Melbourne. It was a difficult situation. I was taking over someone's church that had kind of died, and there was no money and no support networks, and it was just so hard. And I remember at the time thinking, well, I can't do this, God. You know, I don't have all the basics. And I don't have the support. Every other pastor I know is male, is married, and has two kids. And I'm not that person. So, you know, you need to call somebody else. And to my horror, he insisted, no, you can do it. And I think that's when I learnt a lot more about myself. You know, I think sometimes women have taken a back seat and they haven't really press the boundaries of who they are as people, because they've let someone else do it, if you like. We hang back. We're not so sure. We're fearful sometimes. And so for me, that was certainly discovering who I was. Great experience. Pastored that church for a few years, and then through a series of God conversations, quite a story actually, I moved to Sydney. And as I said before, it's quite a story of God speaking and me following his voice, and ended up becoming the academic dean of an amazing college that now trains thousands of young people for ministry all over the world. Hard to leave. I'm still at Hillsong Church, but needed to follow the call of God on my life for godconversations.com.
So did you actually enroll to be a student in the college first?
No. By then I'd already finished 4 years of theological study back in Melbourne. So I've moved beyond. 8 years of study is enough.
Yeah, I can concur. Very much so. So I know this is a 6-part DVD teaching series. If I was to ask you, how do you recognize the voice of God, Tanya? But in a nutshell, I mean, how did you recognize the voice of God to step out of what you were doing there in Melbourne, to go to Sydney, to eventually get onto that path that set you off to now be doing what you're doing?
Well, I think the foundational premise in hearing God's voice is to understand that he is a talking God, and he still speaks today, and that he wants to speak to us. You know, I think of Acts chapter 2, verse 17, when the Holy Spirit is first given to the church. And the Apostle Peter stands up and he says, everything has changed now. In the olden days, the Spirit came on just the prophets who would hear from God. You know, they'd go up to the mountain like Moses and hear from God and then pass his messages on. But now the Spirit has come, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old and young men will have visions and dreams. And these forms of communication were the ones that God used with the Old Testament prophets. And now they're available for us. So I think for me, at 21, realizing that God could speak and that he wanted to speak, then I thought, well, why isn't he speaking? Because he spoke to, you know, Peter, and he spoke to the Apostle Paul, and he spoke to my friend who's at my church, and he spoke to the pastor. Why isn't he speaking to me? And for me, that was the central pivotal point of going, okay, God, I'm listening. Mm. I want you to speak to me now. And that's all I did. Really, that was all I did. I just said, God, I want you to speak. I'm listening. And from that point on, he started to speak, and in ways I did not expect, in clear ways that were clear, in ways that caused me to respond and live a life of faith. And I think sometimes the difficulty is we don't want to hear what he says. You know, sometimes he calls us, say, for example, to forgive someone who's hurt us, and we don't want to do it. So we sort of go back to God and say, can you say something else now? When actually that still small voice is prodding us, because there's some good fruit to come out of it. But we need to follow him. You know, Jesus said, my people recognize my voice and they follow me.
The thought that we really can have a two-way conversation with the creator of the universe. That's amazing.
It is. It's incredible. You know, when I moved to Sydney, God showed me beforehand what I was going to do and be in ministry in Sydney. And I saw how it was going to happen. And then when it came to pass, it was like, wow, God, you really are God. You really know me, and you know the world, and you know everyone around me. I think that experience just leads you into this relationship that's real. We really do get to know him as his people. And for me, that's one of the most wonderful experiences. I want to be able to pass that on. I want people to know that there's a God who's personal and loving and kind, and he wants to see the best come out of us.
Now, when you just said a God who is loving, today is Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know for you, your journey along the way, it's been one as a single Christian woman.
Yes.
God is one who said it's not good to be alone.
That's right.
What's happening in your world right now?
Well, I'm not going out for dinner tonight. I'll be very surprised if any roses land on my door. So I probably will be just hanging out with some friends like any other night. I haven't celebrated Valentine's for a while. So the right man hasn't come along yet. And even if he does, I'm not sure we'll celebrate Valentine's in that way.
But you're hanging out with friends who obviously love you.
Yes.
You know, friends who love God as well, I'm sure. Speak to the people listening who maybe are challenged on this day. Everyone needs close, intimate relationships. Speak to the moment. What does Valentine's Day mean to you?
Yeah, it's on this day particularly, and on days like this, Christmases and Easter, that we really notice it the most, don't we? And I think it's a really true thing to say. It's hard to be alone. You know, the Bible, God himself says he makes this amazing creation, and he pronounces it good and good and good, and he makes humanity, and he says it's very good, and then he says one thing that's not good, and that thing was that we're not supposed to be alone. So I think this desire to know others and to be known is a part of the human makeup. It's a part of who we are, and if we don't have that, if we're divorced or widowed, or we're in a marriage where there's no intimacy, we feel that very keenly on Valentine's Day. So I do, you know, at times like this, I tend to manage that need a little bit, and I tend to think, well, it might not be what I want it to be right now, but I'm going to make sure that I have good, healthy friendships in my life where I feel loved and where I feel known. It's important for single people to manage that and to build that, invest in healthy relationships, particularly on days like today, not just to get to this day, but to have done the journey with people before the day, before those sad times, before those times when we notice it, to actually take time out and build into good, healthy friendships until such a time as we have a partner perhaps of our own. But even without that, I think it's still important to maintain a circle of friends and a community of good relationships.
Tanya, how do you go about finding the right people for you to develop healthy relationships?
Yeah, that's such a great question and such an important one. Look, I think if not the most important question that we could ask ourselves in our lives, I heard it recently said that we are the average of the five people who are closest to us.
Ooh.
We become like those who are close to us. And whether it's a spouse or whether it's just a company of good friends, I think those choices that we make about who we do life with are just crucial.
You know, when I was growing up, my mother told me from a very early age, Karen, if you lie down with dogs, you're going to come up with fleas.
Such a great one. Nice. Thanks, Mum.
I reckon, but I haven't forgotten it all these years later.
No fleas on me. I've been very blessed with close, really quality people in my life, and they're people who've shared similar values. They believe in me, mm-hmm. and I believe in them. I have a lot of fun with them. We can talk about the things we really care about late at night, and I respect them for the way they do life. And so I see my friends as, how can I say it, the greatest resource. They're the ones I learn from. They're the ones who correct me. They're the ones who, you know, lift me up when I'm down. I said to someone recently when they said, you know, how do I find the right person to marry? And I said, well, that's easy. You just marry your best friend and you add chemistry.
Ooh.
So I've had a lot of best friends. There just hasn't been the right one with chemistry. But I think it is. It's someone who's your best friend, who you can do life with, who are committed to your success, and you're committed to theirs. And then you make that choice to navigate the journey together. You know, I see a lot of my friends now getting a little bit further in life, and we see the consequences of choices they've made when they're younger. And those choices just have a ripple effect throughout our lives. And we need to be intentional about the people that we bring close and that we invest time in. And then when we know who those people are, we protect them and we build them and we do everything we can to learn from them. And they're the biggest gift, I think, that God gives. For me, that hasn't come in the form of a long-term partner, but God will provide for us. If we ask him, say, oh, God, I need good friendships, good relationships. Help me to be a good friend and to gather those people around me. And I believe as we do that, we're going to live prosperous and successful lives, whether we're single, divorced, married, or whatever state we are in on Valentine's Day.
Mm. Let me ask you, though, a number of people in the Christian world, you know, singles, guys, girls, older, younger, to say to them, how do you find that right person? Does it have to be in the church?
Yeah, I have a number of friends who've asked me that same question as well. It's interesting when you start to think about the practicalities of doing life together, when you have children, when you think about how you're going to spend your money. And I often think about the times that God has spoken to me and has asked me to give away money or asked me to leave a job. And I think about if I had a man with me who shared that experience with me, how would he react? And the truth is he probably wouldn't cope with that. The truth is that our relationship would start to fall apart. So I don't want to be the person that has to choose between the God I worship and the man I love. I don't think it would work to have someone who would align themselves on a different track, who is following other priorities for their lives. It just doesn't work. I understand sometimes why people make choices about who they are with, but for me, that's just not an option.
So what are your thoughts also with regard to another bit of encouragement that I received as a young woman was, Karen, find people who are interested in the same things that you're interested in, because the more you have in common with someone, the greater credit there will be in your relational bank.
And my dad said the same thing, actually. It's interesting. I think it's true. I think you do need areas of commonality, but I think that more so you need to be open. So, for example, one of my favourite things in the world to do is ski, and I think I would love to marry a good skier, but maybe I wouldn't marry a good skier, but I really want him to learn to ski so that we could do my favourite thing together. I think that we're going to have some differences, and I think sometimes the differences attract. But at the end of the day, you have to find things that you can share together. Sometimes being in a relationship is being open to enjoying music that's different to what you like, or reading books that is perhaps different to what you enjoy. I do it with my friends, even today. You know, the people I've known, I learn from their differences. But at the same time, the things that really matter about commonality are the values and priorities that are under the surface. And from that then comes the capacity to share life together and to learn from each other as well.
You've certainly been traveling a unique journey, Tanya, as a woman in Christian ministry, but also as a single woman. to date in Christian ministry, yet you've only just started speaking about this whole topic, haven't you?
Under duress.
You're a very brave woman to join me on Valentine's Day.
I had my first speaking invitation to speak on singleness last year, and I thought, well, that's the invitation that everybody wants, isn't it? Yeah, look, it just worked out that way. I didn't expect it to. I think for me, God has a good plan for my life, and it just turned out that marriage has not been a part of that. I expect it will be one day when the right man comes along. Up until this point, you know, you work out how to manage the season that you're in and to live the best life. I think that the grass is always greener, and I've had friends and people I've known who've made decisions out of the wrong reasons to be married and have ended up very unhappy. And so, you know, you have to make choices in your life about who you want to do the journey with. And for me, I've had some great people around me throughout my journey when I was pastoring my church, when I was here in Sydney, and I have an amazing team and board around me who help me with my ministry, who are not just leaders, but they're friends. I've learnt how to manage the season that you're in, and I think it's very important that we do that as singles, that we go, okay, I need to build healthy relationships that are two-way in my life so that I can enjoy the time and the person that I am in this time.
Yeah, great encouragement. Like you said, making the most of every season in life and comprehending the true need for intimate relationships. Tanya, tell us about your new ebook that's just been released.
Yeah, it's been a great experience. I've just finished a book, as you say. It's called The Easy Way to Hear God's Voice. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to do with it is to help people understand that this is not difficult and it's a part of our inheritance. As people who are in relationship with God, we've made that choice to follow him. Hearing his voice is a very big part of that. So I wanted to try and demystify it a little bit. So I wrote a book, and as I said before, it's actually a gift on my website, godconversations.com. But I've also writing another couple of books at the moment, so the process has begun. As I said before, it's with a heart to really help people in this area. I find that many people in church life particularly struggle to hear God's voice. Mm. You know, I hear people say, I heard God speak once 5 years ago, and I think, well, if you had a partner, a husband or a wife, and you said, remember when we had a conversation 5 years ago, it probably doesn't make for a great relationship. So I believe that God gives us that capacity to have a two-way conversation with him as part of an everyday life as a Christian.
Now, something that I truly admire in you, I guess, is a similarity here. I love the great outdoors. I love the water, the mountains, the beach, the rivers.
Absolutely.
You're a bit of a mountain girl, kayaking girl. Did you go, you know, kayaking on the Sydney Harbour this morning?
Not this morning. I didn't actually, but I do it regularly. And last year we did a trip around the Whitsundays. You know, I travel overseas a lot, as you mentioned, and I thought I want to see my own backyard. I haven't been to the Whitsundays, so a group of friends and I travelled up to the islands and we hired kayaks for the week and paddled around the islands and camped, and it was just fabulous. Great way to enjoy our country and get to know good people as well at the same time.
And do you find, like myself, that you tend to hear God's voice a little bit more clearly when you're actually close to him in his creation?
For me, absolutely. It's a worship experience, actually. I don't like praying sitting down in my chair, you know, that whole thing of crouched over on the couch. I'd much rather be out running or kayaking or skiing or actually moving. That's, for me, is a way to actually really commune with God and pray. So I'm not sure if that's other people's experience, but certainly how I experience God.
Well, Tanya, you're the founder and director of God Conversations. You're available to speak at churches and conferences and youth events. I know you adapt and tailor-make programs to suit. If people are interested to get in contact with you, to check out your blogs, listen to any of your audio, where's the best place they can go?
My website is godconversations.com, and there's lots of complimentary resources there. We've just started a podcast recently that comes on every couple of weeks. When we first launched, it was up there with the Popes for some reason.
Ah, I don't know. True story.
My friend sent me a clip and I said, how did that happen? But, you know, if you're interested in actually learning more, there's, as I said before, there's a free ebook, and the podcast and the blog's all complimentary, because we're very committed. My team and I are very committed to helping people. So if we can do that, I'd love to hear from you at the website.
Fantastic. Tanya, we love you. We wish you a very happy Valentine's Day, not just today, any
Thank
other
you.
Day. Know that you're loved, you're appreciated. And again, the website is?
GodConversations.com.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you so much
Thanks
for joining
so much,
me.
Karen. So great to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Like what you've just heard? There's more great podcasts, or you can listen to us live at vision.org.au. And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation of any amount will help us continue connecting faith to life. Learn more or donate today at vision.org.au.